back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. And joining us this morning by phone is Chaplain Michael Freese. He's an LCMS chaplain and serving in a number of ways and recently awarded a Purple Heart. Good morning, Pastor Freese.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Tell us, how long have you been in the Holy Ministry?
I've been a pastor for almost 11 years now.
And how much of that time have you been a chaplain?
I've been a chaplain for just over 8 of those years.
Very good. And tell us a little bit about your service as a chaplain.
Well, when I came on to active duty Army, I served as a chaplain in Germany. And my wife and children and I lived in Germany for about 4 years and served with the U.S. Army there. And from Germany, I deployed with a unit down to Iraq for 15 months. And after returning from Iraq, we had some reintegration time in Germany. And then we were moved by the Army to the United States so that I could deploy with an infantry unit from Fort Knox, Kentucky. And from there, we deployed to Afghanistan for 12 months. And upon returning from there, we transitioned again. And I am currently serving as an Air National Guard chaplain in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
You've been a busy man and serving in a variety of places. You've spent quite a bit of time deployed.
Yes. Yeah, I've spent 27 months of my 8 years in war.
During your service as chaplain, what are the duties that you're responsible for?
Yeah, that's a good question. The duties of a chaplain vary from unit to unit. But in essence, I can give you a good perspective of what a deployed chaplain does. While deployed to war, the chaplain's primary duty is to provide religious support. So to provide religious services and materials for the deployed men and women that he serves. A typical week while deployed is obviously leading worship services. And for many chaplains, that's in multiple locations. I personally, while I was in Iraq, had 40 different locations that my soldiers were divided throughout the middle third of Iraq. And in Afghanistan, my unit was a little more focused within a smaller area, and I had 5 forward operating bases, FOBs for short, where I would travel around to each of those 5 places. And I was the sole chaplain providing the religious religious support for those men and women. So the typical week begins with worship for a chaplain. I would travel by either land or by air between those bases. I would lead Bible studies. And while at those bases, because my men and women were under heavy combat, my pastoral counseling load was quite heavy. I would sit down with these men and women struggling either with combat stress or personal stress or family stress and provide counseling to them, a listening ear. A chaplain actually has the extremely unique opportunity to have 100% confidentiality. That is unique to the chaplaincy, whereas a doctor or a lawyer has certain things that they need to report up. A chaplain is that safe ear for someone who's wrestling with the biggest things in life, life and death. Further, a week would include a chaplain attending unit staff meetings, because I'm a staff officer to a commander, giving that commander reports on the general trends I'm seeing during my visitations, how the troops are doing. If they're struggling and what they're struggling with. Again, I can relate more to the Afghanistan deployment, since it was more recent, and because it was a light infantry unit that came under heavy fire. One of my duties was to do critical incident stress debriefings, and that is a very organized meeting where I pull in a group of soldiers who have just undergone a high-stress situation. Usually that involved someone being hurt seriously or killed. And in a critical incident stress debriefing, we try to normalize what happened and plan a way to move through it emotionally, mentally, spiritually.
And what was that time like for you in Afghanistan? You were serving so many people. I mean, how many people were you serving?
Yes, in Afghanistan, I had 1,200 people that I was the sole religious support leader for. And that included 900 light infantry soldiers, but then about 300 people from either civilian positions or from the other services, Air Force, Navy, Marines.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of souls to care for.
Yes.
For you, what was life like?
For me, I had a central location where I had most of my stuff. I lived and operated, but it was a lot like being back here in the United States in a way, mm-hmm. in that I had a very structured, ordered day. I would wake up and begin my day with devotions and personal prayers and personal Bible reading, and then I would go off on a visitation schedule. So I tried to order my day very specifically so that I could have time to manage being the chaplain to those 1,200 souls.
Hmm. What's the difference between serving a congregation in the U.S. and serving as a chaplain in the military?
That's a wonderful question. A parish pastor has a variety of tasks, and we could sit here all day listing all the things a parish pastor does. And it's very similar in the chaplaincy. There's a lot of tasks, very specific to the military. Now, they differ from a parish pastor in primarily from the fact that a parish pastor spends most of his day and week concentrating upon the Lutheran congregation to which he's been called. Whereas a military chaplain has been assigned to a particular unit that may or may not have very many Lutherans. So as a chaplain, I'm a religious leader and provider for what we call a pluralistic atmosphere. Mm-hmm. That means we are, as chaplains, on the front lines of providing for the freedom of religion for all the men and women in the U.S. military. So I would not be necessarily having a Lutheran service every week here in the United States as an active duty chaplain. What I would do is I would make sure that the men and women in the military could worship and practice their beliefs according to their tenets and according to their conscience.
That is no easy task, I'm certain.
No, it does provide a lot of challenges because, as you know, the religious beliefs and tenets of various faiths, mm-hmm. Are quite different from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So I see myself as a representative of really the United States in upholding First Amendment rights for all the men and women who choose to serve our nation at this time of war.
And that has to be vastly different from being in a parish, as you said, talking about serving in a parish where you're serving a Lutheran congregation, and now in a pluralistic environment. I can't imagine the questions when you first stepped into that office. What were some of the questions that you faced, and how were those questions answered?
Yes, coming from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Seminary here in Fort Wayne, I received a call to a Lutheran congregation in Wisconsin, and from that Lutheran congregation, I accepted a call as a full-time military chaplain to the Army. And I'll tell you, the first couple of years in the military chaplaincy, there was a huge learning curve on figuring out how to be a faithful Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor to military personnel. And fortunately, I had many mentors along the way, LCMS chaplains who have done this well And I looked to them for support. If there were a question about how we could accommodate particular religious practices and needs in a faithful way while not giving up my right to freedom of religion. So a chaplain does not have to become a generic religious guru. Mm-hmm. I am a Missouri Synod chaplain endorsed by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I have guidelines from that endorser, as it's called, to follow. And in the military, I have had a very positive response from my fellow chaplains and my commanders and my soldiers, while being faithful to my beliefs, yet being cognizant that other people don't believe and practice the same. So I don't have to give up any of my firmly held beliefs. I get to preach like I was taught at the seminary. I get to lead services like I was taught and as I practiced in the parish. The difference comes when we talk about communion fellowship, mm-hmm. and other types of sacramental actions. There, I am a Lutheran chaplain to Lutheran Church Missouri Synod service men and women. And in Germany, I actually had the pleasure of serving a congregation, an LCMS congregation, on a base. Whereas in the United States, I do that more individually, whether it's referring them to an off-base Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation or leading LCMS services for them, providing baptisms for them, obviously holding the Lord's Supper as often as possible, if not weekly, and then confirmation and Bible studies and Sunday schools. So we are, at our foundation, Lutheran Missouri Synod pastors to people in the military.
Today we're talking with Captain Michael Fries. He's an LCMS chaplain, and we want to continue the conversation. We'll do that right after this break. I hope, listeners, that you can stick around. There's plenty more to share, and so stick around for more right here on Worldwide KFUO.
It is a hymn that clearly proclaims the Lutheran Reformation teaching that we are saved by grace through faith alone without any works on our part. And we will examine that hymn assigned for the fourth Sunday in Lent on the next Long Gospel with our co-host, the Reverend Dr. Mark Smith.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
Facebook is a great way to keep up with programming and get a behind-the-scenes glimpse into the broadcast day of KFUO Radio. This is where you'll find the inside scoop on programming and show links, photos, videos, and get details of upcoming events. And it's the place where you can connect with us and other listeners. And it's just so easy. Go to Facebook on your computer or smart device, put KFUO into the search box, select our page, and like us today. And oh yes, it's totally free. So what are you waiting for?
Retirement, a college education, buying a home, the big decisions in life require a great deal of thought and discussion. That's why nearly 2.5 million members turn to Thrivent Financial for Lutherans for financial advice. We'll develop a financial strategy to help you reach your goals, and we'll provide advice to keep your financial program on track with your dreams. To find a Thrivent Financial representative, call 314-783-4200.
Registered representatives for securities offered through Thrivent Investment Management Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, March 25th. Today we are talking with Captain Michael Fries. He's an LCMS chaplain who served in Afghanistan. Chaplain Fries, during your time in Afghanistan, something very significant happened. I believe it was around May 11th. Can you tell us that story?
Yes. Yeah, that was quite a life-changing event for me. I was in my chapel office, a tent, at about 1:30 on a Monday afternoon, and I had just begun a teleconference with my supervisory chaplain and my fellow chaplains. It was a video teleconference on the computer. I had just done a microphone check and put the microphone on mute when a large explosion happened near me, knocking me out of my chair and knocking me out. I came to on the ground with severe ringing in my ears and everything moving very slowly. I felt very discombobulated. What we found out later, after the attack was completed, was that a very large rocket-type munition had been fired at our base. It was an 82-millimeter round, and it had exploded 15 feet from me, which is extremely close for a round that large. It was absolutely a miracle of God that I did not catch shrapnel from that explosion, but the explosion itself had hurt me. It had knocked me out, given me a concussion. I still suffer today from black spots in my eyes from that event, and then ongoing minor medical issues. But yeah, it was May 16th, and that day was a day I'll never forget.
And so from that, how did that affect your ministry? How did that change your perspective? Did it change your perspective on things?
Yes. Going back to a previous question that you had asked about the difference between a parish pastor and a chaplain in the military, quite obviously, the biggest difference is chaplains wear the uniform of the men and women they serve, and that's for a very particular reason. That puts us in the same group. We go through the same trainings. We are deployed to the same dangerous areas, and we go through the same types of situations that our soldiers, airmen, sailors, and Marines go through while in a deployed environment. That explosion put me in a category of deployed military personnel, to where I was given the responsibility and the privilege of suffering alongside of our deployed men and women. And that gives me a perspective now that I could have never had otherwise. I thank the Lord that I survived the way I did through it, but then also the follow-on ministry that I've had from it. Every day, our U.S. forces are under hostile fire in Afghanistan. This has been going on for quite some time, and it's still happening every day. Our men and women are going through a lot of personal stress from all of this combat. And having gone through that with them as a chaplain, I have a unique position to minister to their very particular personal and spiritual needs. They are wrestling with life and death. They are wrestling with the ideas of what to do from here. Combat stress is a real phenomena, and thousands of our U.S. Military personnel are suffering from it even after redeploying. They suffer from the memories of what they went through. They suffer from the physical injuries. They suffer from what life in that environment, a continued life in that environment, does to a person, where safety is never assured and you're always in the midst of danger. I can sit down with these men and women now and have a very personal, firsthand experience of of what they are going through. And by the grace of God, through the power of His Word, sit down and speak the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ to them in a very personal, real way. And I think that's the biggest blessing I can think of that came from not only May 16th, but the follow-on dangers that I lived through with them, is I can bring the comfort of forgiveness, the comfort of eternal life, to a hurting soldier, airman, sailor, or marine.
On Saturday, February 22nd, you were awarded the Purple Heart, which is one of the highest honors. Tell us about that ceremony.
Well, it was a pretty overwhelming ceremony. I knew that the paperwork was in process through the Army because of the injuries that I suffered during that day where I was near the explosion. I knew it was coming through, but when I was finally awarded the Purple Heart, I was quite overwhelmed by what that meant. Now, I already explained what my injuries were, and I must say that on the scale of injuries from this war, mine were quite light. I did not lose a limb. I did not have life-changing surgeries like thousands of our military personnel have had to do after their injuries. So I was quite humbled to be numbered among a group that have suffered so much for their country at this time of war. But also, I felt quite honored to be recognized publicly for this, and to still remain a chaplain in the unit. My wing commander, the commander of the 122nd Fighter Wing here in Fort Wayne, had a very moving ceremony for me. it was touching to be recognized in a group of the airmen that I serve here in Fort Wayne, and to have that moment in time shared with them. I think in a real way it brought us closer together, and I pray that it opens the doors for me to be a spiritual guide to them and to open the Word of God to the airmen here.
What are your hopes? What is your prayer for men and women still serving?
I pray every day that the men and women that are still in deployed locations come home safely. I pray that this war would end. I pray that mothers and fathers and sons and daughters would come back from their deployed locations. And I've just simply been talking about Afghanistan, but we have our sons and daughters, mothers and fathers deployed all over the world. I pray that they would come home and join their families, have a happy homecoming, reintegrate, and settle back down into a life where they can attend their home churches, raise their children, and enjoy the comforts that they left behind to serve in the military. I pray that the Lord would use chaplains to bring the good news to those people, that they may not only just reintegrate emotionally or physically or mentally, but especially spiritually, that they would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, that they would have the hope of everlasting salvation. My hope for the deployed personnel is much as any pastor would have of the hope of his congregation.
With about 2 minutes left, what can we do, those of us who are listening today, what can pastors and congregations do to help those men and women who have been serving as they return from the military or even while they're in the military? What can we do for them and for their families?
The biggest thing that a pastor or a congregation can do for the military men and women is pray. Remember them in your prayers. Remember their struggles. And lift them up to the Lord, asking for His protection and his hand of healing in many cases, whether that's from combat stress or physical injuries. The power of prayer should not be underestimated. A Lutheran congregation should pray daily, and especially weekly, lifting them up by name. The next thing that I would suggest for a Lutheran congregation or a Lutheran pastor is to contact the LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. There is a program that the Ministry to the Armed Forces has started called Operation Barnabas. It's a program that is well documented on the LCMS webpage, and its sole purpose is to go around to congregations and pastors and give them tools and ideas on how they can support, in particular, the LCMS men and women who have deployed and who have returned from war. There are relationships to be built. There are hugs to be given, arms to be opened to these men and women, and patience to be had. There are a lot of struggles that these men and women are bringing back with them, and it's really only time, care, concern, prayer, and the Word of God that is going to fully reintegrate these men and women back into their congregations.
So prayer, and check out Operation Barnabas. You can find out more about that at lcms.org. We've been talking today with Captain Michael Fries. He's an LCMS chaplain, recently awarded the Purple Heart after serving in Afghanistan. Captain Fries, thank you so much for being our guest this morning on His Time.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it.
God's blessings to you and those you serve.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll study the daily lectionary with Pastor Jay Wheeler from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Osceola, Iowa. Hope you can join us for that, listeners. And coming up just a little bit, we've got AP Radio News and the weather for you. Stick around for more His Time right after this.